to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And we have a special guest in the studio today, once again joining us.
Yeah.
So my name's Chris Auld. I'm from sunny New Zealand, and it's summer there at the moment. Really warm and lovely.
Yeah, thanks for rubbing it in.
Yeah, I know. It's great. We're recording in our studio in Redmond.
Yeah. Right. And brand new studio, as you can see.
Yeah, I know. They just put up the brick wall, and I love the cityscape and the artificial water. So
I feel like I'm on Letterman.
Yeah, exactly. Dan said he was in here laying bricks yesterday, and I thought he had something else in mind.
But. Well, I thought you were doing Stupid Patrick's, but I think we'll save that for some outtakes. But we got a lot of stuff going on.
Yes, we do. So the IE9 release candidate is now officially available. And one of the new features I like about this, you can download it now, is that if you have a website that uses the HTML5 video tag, you can right-click on the video and you can play it at 1.5 or 2 times speed.
And, so, of course, Channel 9 uses the HTML5 video tag, mm-hmm. so people can watch this at, like, 2 times speed.
That's right. And so what's the default, though, if you're on Silverlight, though? If you have Silverlight installed, you're going to default to playing the videos in Silverlight.
Right, and you can actually, for Channel 9 users, change your profile to HTML5 for those times you want to, for example, watch the video in 2x speed. You can actually set that as a user profile setting. All the videos that appear as HTML5.
Oh, and high-speed playback's coming to Silverlight 5, yeah?
Yes, we did announce that. So the other cool thing is tabs.
Oh, that's right. So a lot of customer feedback on this one. A lot of people asking to have tabs on a different row, I guess, from your address bar. Because if you have lots and lots of tabs, like I sometimes do, then it's nice to have that extra real estate.
I'm just like search engine, I control, boom, 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 right? Just tabs everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I do new window, new window, new window, new window all the time.
Yeah, that's what he means by control click.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm
sophisticated. It's not the right click, draggy, droppy, clicky, clicky.
You know, Keller got onto me the one time I new windowed in front of him, and he was...
Yeah.
But for people, I'm just saying, it's spinning up new windows.
Control click.
New tabs, really.
Yeah, new tab.
To be fair. Okay, so a lot of stuff, check it out, and performance. Lots of stuff on performance as well. You'll see more on the IE blog. This video is actually REB. Ari Bixhorn,
going through
the top 5 features.
Nice.
So check it out.
Cool.
So MVCconf was a couple days ago. Nick Fillingham, John Galloway set this up, and it was actually the first live thing that we had done probably in a long time, or since our new studio has been up here. So Scott Goo did kind of an Ask the Goo keynote, so he was taking questions via Twitter. Now, the way MVCconf works, totally free. The track that was recorded in here is available on the MVCconf series page. Brad Wilson and Scott Goose were up last night at, like, I don't know, midnight or 1 or so. And the rest of it will be coming in. Some of them are live meetings, though, so you have to go to the MVCconf site to check those out. So a lot of cool stuff there. People were buzzing on Twitter on MVCconf, so a lot of good information. And good to see kind of the community teaching each other.
And also nice to see that Scott's Polo sponsorship is alive and well.
Yes, we don't talk about that publicly, by the way.
Oh, right.
So,
my bad.
Yeah.
I wonder how many he has. Does he just have one red Polo shirt that he wears everywhere, or does he have a closet full?
We actually did, I think, a picture, an outtake of a video where it was just like an entire closet full.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. And then he has to like pick, like,
which one? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So what would you say this is?
Well, so this is the Dynamic CRM 2011 training kit, just rolls off the tongue.
Right, right.
So we landed this yesterday. So my team out of New Zealand and some guys from Colorado, a guy called David Yak, we built this training kit out for Dynamic CRM. And we thought, let's come and talk to the Channel 9 audience about it.
So here's the deal. Keller and I hear Dynamic CRM, I want to like start yawning. Explain to me why Dynamic CRM is interesting to developers. See? I just said it. I just said it. It needs a name like Sexy Fun Time.
Yeah.
CRM or something.
I'm with you.
So to me, Dynamic CRM gives us a real jump start in building the types of web-delivered applications a lot of developers build, right?
Okay.
So we think a lot of apps are CRUD, create, read, update, delete of data, with some background processing, some events that happen that run some code. CRM gives us a platform for building that metadata-driven data model, right? An ability to plug code into an execution pipeline, so when we change our data, that code gets executed. So it really gives us a jump start at building out line of business apps. And you know, and I'm a dog food eater, right? So I eat my own dog food. Mm-hmm. So I actually have a business that we built out on top of Dynamic CRM. So a medical recruitment company called MedRecruit. www.medrecruit.com.
We're going to see how many times Chris can plug something.
Yeah.
Because it's like, and check out my audio series and
but, you know, literally,
my self-help books are available now.
I'm a long-time .NET guy, right? Mm-hmm. I could have picked absolutely any technology to build my business on top of. I picked Dynamics CRM, fronted with an ASP.NET MVC website, and we've built a really big business out of that. We've got maybe 20, 30 staff built up over the course of sort of 4 years.
So take me back a couple steps. Now, there's multiple SKUs, if you will, of our Microsoft CRM offerings. There's Xapta, right? That's Dynamics AX. Yeah?
Yeah, so there's the Microsoft Dynamics team. Yep. And they have what they call their ERP packages, Microsoft Dynamics AX, NAV. Mm-hmm.
And which one are you using?
GP, Solomon. For our business, so we actually use Microsoft. We're just moving to Microsoft Dynamics NAV.
Okay.
As our ERP/financial system for MedRecruit. And then that integrates tightly with CRM. And then CRM, we surface that out to the world, out to our doctors, by using a custom website.
Okay.
So literally, you'll go to our website, www.medrecruit.com.
See, there it is. Two. Okay.
And it'll look like any old fantastic website, right? And that all has been backed onto the data model inside CRM. Okay. And all of our back office staff use CRM to interact with the doctors, to track all of those interactions and so forth.
So for the back office people, are they using a CRM, like a Windows app or something?
Or is it just, it's all
browser. Doesn't matter whether it's customers or customers meaning doctors or your internal staff, everybody's doing the web stuff.
Everybody's in the browser.
Got it. Okay, cool.
Okay. But if I take a look at this training kit, what do I find out?
So the training kit's going to help you to build out these rich XRM applications, right? Don't think of CRM as
XRM?
Extensible relationship, anything relationship management, right? It's a rich, higher level platform for building line of business applications.
I was funny, I went right there.
Some problems,
right? Yeah.
I'm sure you could build a system, right?
Yeah, sure.
Use social startup.
That's good. Yeah? That's good. Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll talk more about that later.
I'm not sure it can scale to the numbers we're talking for Propeller, but.
So the training kit's 3 days worth of content, labs, demos, presentations, and then up here on Channel 9. We've got video recordings of all of the presentations, myself and Dave Yak out of Colorado.
Up there.
Somewhere up in the ether.
Yes.
Delivering those presentations so you can watch them live on Channel 9.
Sweet.
Okay.
Cool stuff. I know you yawned once, but I hope I restrict.
We're not going to have any more of that crap.
No. Wake up. We're getting back to fun
I'm
stuff.
I'm a lot bigger than you two guys.
What's
right?
next?
Yeah. What? What? So, you brought your taser, right? The elephant one?
That's right. That's
okay,
right.
Okay, good.
So coming from Brandon Watson's blog, we have an update to the Windows Phone 7 developer tools. And this includes the new copy and paste support for developers to start playing with.
Mm-hmm.
And I may or may not have an early build of this on my phone that I've been playing with.
They did say publicly that it's rolling out to people.
It is. So it's rolling out, and I've been playing with copy paste. It's actually really, really cool. The other thing that I didn't know was in this release is that the apps are also a lot faster. So they streamlined the way that the apps load, and so I can go into even some of the really intensive like Xbox Live games for my phone, and they come up just within seconds, whereas before I'd say it felt like a minute. Maybe it wasn't a minute, but it felt like some of those apps could take a minute to load.
Okay, good. Way to throw the product under the bus.
No, the old version.
Just moving right along.
That's what we do.
So this is AsInspy, and AsInspy allows us to detect version conflicts in the references that we add in Visual Studio. So you know in Visual Studio you've got a project, you've added a whole lot of references.
You can see it on the screen, that top disgusting thing, like no way to resolve conflict between this library versus that.
We do a build and suddenly we've got all these issues. So AsInspy, command line tool, we run it across our bin folder.
Yes.
And it basically goes and interrogates all of the referenced assemblies that we've got and looks at which underlying CLR version they're pointing at.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and allows us to easily get the diagnostics information we need to be able to change our references and get rid of these nasty
And apps. That's what that gray spit out was on the slide there.
Mm-hmm.
So, sweet. And free tool, by the way. So Rudy Grobler talks about...
Friend of the show.
Talks about building an audio recording app for Windows Phone 7. So what's kind of funny is he did the Clint Ruckus fake a call style. So the first screenshot is you can have it look like a normal app, and it's actually recording underneath the covers.
Nice.
And he took Mark Heath of N Audio fame, and N Audio has been used for the Skype voice changer, For the other app that we were talking about, AutoTune.
Oh,
for example,
yeah.
All that stuff is built on N-Audio. He took the sine waveform, so you can actually see the how to build sine waves and how to graphically express them as well in that screenshot.
Nice.
So, lots of cool stuff. So, and it's available now. Live tiles. So, live tiles are those fun things where you add it onto your home screen, and the tile actually updates.
Right.
So for developers looking to build, how do I build a live tile? This is kind of the things I learned recap summary post.
So let's get it out there. The limitation is you can't, as a non-Microsoft developer for Windows Phone 7, you can't write tiles that animate.
You've got to have the secret sauce, right? Animated tiles require secret sauce.
Right, exactly. So for third-party developers, which is, you know, practically everybody watching our show, which is, you know, our immediate families, it's
sorry,
static
Mom.
Images.
That's
static
right.
PNGs.
That's right.
And there's other things you need to realize, like there's an 80 kilobyte limit or 70 or 80 kilobyte limit on, or less than 80 kilobyte limit on the actual image size. That stuff actually, the call to update live tiles has to be done over the network, so you can't do it, say, locally. Now, you can kick off something to call it to the web, but there's a number of things. If you're building these, you want to know what the limitations are, how to program it, what are the best practices instead of trying to learn
stuff. But I really like live tiles, right? To me, live tiles
are live tiles.
The key innovations of WP7, right? Because
yep.
it lets me see at a glance what I want to see. Right?
Yep.
I have a stock portfolio, right? And I get stock updates into a live tile, so I can actually see as my stocks are changed updates, the live tile, and actually have to dive into the app and have a look at that. So I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah, I actually think, you know, what ways this could evolve in the future, you know, animation, or you could imagine having, like, the ability to have video live tile. Why not? Like, how cool would it be to just have, like, you know, the webcam or whatever? And we have absolutely no product information, but but I'm just thinking, like, out loud.
The baby cam on Gavin. Just
could, like,
totally.
Build like a marquee tag live tile.
Totally. And like, even the big live tiles as well, since developers are can't do the one across, like the calendar, for example, for people that have Windows Phone, you can only do a single live tile. There's just a lot of stuff that you can do there if you start thinking about.
I find myself optimizing my live tiles so that the ones I look at most often are the top, but the ones I need to access regularly are also at the very bottom. So the stuff in the middle, you know, it's not as quick to scroll to, but if I just flick, I can get down to, you know,
I have settings at the bottom, right? So bang, I can always bang to settings.
Yep. Cool.
Serverlight PNG encoders. This is David Anson talking about what this allows you to do. It's a library that uses iEnumerable as well, and it's all open source. You can see his app. But the idea is to actually generate PNG images. So he shows how to generate a PNG image. He talks about, you know, the advantages, disadvantages, examples that people were doing, things that this example isn't optimized for. For example, compression. But you can take his library and maybe look at some what the right way to do it is. And, of course, everything's open source. So he walks through some of the limitations, gotchas that you need to know, because he's using link queries over iEnumerable, where in some cases things are, because of deferred execution, being used twice. So it's really interesting, just sort of a best practices. Okay, so here's how you build a PNG, and here's kind of what was learned along the way. And, of course, the source code's available.
Cool. So, overlay text with expression encoder. This is posted by Greg Duncan to Coding for Fun, but it was actually originally written by Wade Wegner over on the Azure Evangelism team. And what Wade was trying to do was programmatically add overlays to an expression encoder video. Now, this could be for something that you're doing a live streaming with that expression supports, or it could be something that you're doing just in post-production. So maybe I want to go back and add overlays of medrecruits.com throughout this entire video, right? You could do that programmatically by following the steps that Wade lays out here.
Yeah, well, I'd love to. We can do an overlay. I don't know if you can do graphics, but just like so it looks like a cursor.
A marquee tag. Right?
Like flames are coming out of you every time you talk.
That'd be sweet.
But no marquee blinking tag. Not without our sponsorship package, which reminds me, Doritos.
He's going to lick my finger.
That's
like
terrible.
The third time I've heard that today.
So styles and Silverlight, right? So styles are really the key for going from developer-built Silverlight, where it looks like someone's beaten it with the ugly stick.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
To Silverlight that really looks great, because out of the box, Silverlight looks awful. right? Because your dev's kind of come and draw and it looks really square and boxy and horrid.
It's developer art.
It's developed, and then you put a designer across it and they round the corners and drop. It looks beautiful.
Right, and let's be fair to Silverlight. We're talking about any application stack, any UI by default. Put a developer in the corner.
You are going to build something hideous.
I'm a developer, man. Everything I build looks like it's been touched by the ugly stick. So this is really a developer's guide to styles in Silverlight.
Yeah.
So for developers maybe coming from a background in HTML, CSS.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
Or coming from a background in any other sort of rich UI framework, it really lets them get up to speed quickly about how styling works inside Silverlight. And that's up on our VisiBlocks.
Sweet. OData JavaScript library.
So this is what I'm gonna own too.
Because
of course CRM has an OData endpoint.
Oh Jesus, CRM, there we go. What are we incrementing?
Because we think OData is fantastic for these create, read, update, delete web services.
Okay. Right?
And when you build out a CRM application, that metadata driven data model gives you out of the box a rich OData endpoint that you can consume. And then one of the ways we like to consume that is actually consuming it out of JavaScript. So even within the CRM UI itself, we can build little HTML widgets that consume the OData endpoint. And we've got a JavaScript library for OData that means it really becomes sort of a one-line task.
Yeah, I think this is great, especially for, since OData, a lot of people were looking at probably more in the libraries that we're doing were like C# and Java libraries. This at least makes it so that you can imagine somebody, you know, building a very simple widget on pages, since a lot of people build widgets that's just JavaScript that shows, you know, top 10 movies in Netflix, for example.
So again, I mean, CRM dashboard is all about widgets on pages consuming the OData endpoint. So we'll probably want to go and update the training kit at some point to actually use that library.
Cool.
JavaScript code.
Ooh,
JavaScript code, no. Which is wholly different than boo.
It's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it?
it kind of is. So this article on Script Junkie walks through how to do object-oriented programming with JavaScript. There's a number of limitations, you know, in terms of things like how classes work, because there isn't really the concept of a class directly in JavaScript. So the concept of things like inheritance don't really work. Now, there are ways to do that using, for example, the prototype keyword. What that allows you to do is act as a way of doing inheritance. So if I have an animal, I can have a specific class of dog and cat, if you will, using their prototype keyword.
It allows you to add additional methods and properties
and really inherit those, right? So I can define a bunch of shared things within one and have it reused in the others. The point is, if you're looking to do OO programming in JavaScript, this is the best practices, if you will, for how to do it.
Cool. Picks of the week.
Picks of the week. Woo-hoo.
So this isn't something that is going to help a lot of developers in their you know coding day job. But you know I'm a big fan of getting things done. GTD David Allen, and he talks a lot about flowcharts and like you can create a flowchart for anything from like folding your laundry to you know working on a big project.
You fold your laundry?
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Ooh, jeez.
Jeez. But in any event, this is a flowchart that talks about procrastinating.
Yes.
And so, of course, we need to add some organization behind our procrastination. And this flowchart came from...
So Joey Davila, who's the Accordion Guy blog, who people probably are familiar with him from that, is now actually works for Microsoft. He doesn't know the source.
Oh, he doesn't know the source.
Yeah, so okay. At least so that's what he said in his last somewhere. Post.
Got it.
So.
Got it. Well, I really like this because it talks about, you know, you go off to do one thing, like check your email, and eventually you find yourself on Facebook.
On a social network.
On a social network, and then you're looking at status updates, and then you go through the...
Is the person my ex-girlfriend?
Yep, exactly.
You know, have I seen them?
Are we still friends? Are we still talking?
What's this ex-girlfriend thing, man? Is there something I'm not knowing about?
You don't know that all Facebook is just a way to... Tell her to track his ex-girlfriend?
Pretty much, yeah.
Good stuff. Actually, I think that's why the social network had that
whole
theme as well.
Exactly.
On, you know, Zuckerberg doing it for the ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Trying to impress her. Okay. Yep. So my pick of the week is the C++ Renaissance. So Charles Torrey did a video with Craig Tsai, and Mohsin talking about how, not just from a tools, but from a platform perspective and for native developers, all the things that they're looking to do for C++ and really making sure that C++ is in sort of a second-class language, a second-class platform, and so forth. So I think my favorite part is Craig's been around for the company since forever. Like, I remember when I originally joined, when I was the C-Sharp product manager, meeting Craig for the first time was like, oh, wow, we have a meeting with Craig, and make sure, you know, you're totally buttoned up, and it was great. And he's kind of the grandfather,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah, he's kind of the exec sponsor, if you will, for the Express product line. So if you use Visual Studio Express, you can thank Craig sometime.
Yeah, yeah. So and any funny stories that you have? I think one of the coolest parts on Craig was that he just had this really broad view of the world, like understood both the business and technical. So he could just like deep dive into code. He'd talk about how he actually uses Visual Studio, and then of course give you like, you know, here's kind of the industry trends as well.
Yeah, I think you know, he's one of our better execs. I think he's right up there with, you know, Jason Zander and Scott Guthrie, guys that you know, just they live in the tool every day. They're not just sitting on high and looking at org charts and whatnot.
Excel spreadsheets.
Exactly.
Yeah, the way Chris is. Okay. Good. Which brings us to your pick of the week.
So my pick of the week, do you like that photo?
Yeah.
So we'll first person who can guess where that photo is in the comments can.
So those are some wonderful Crocs you're wearing. You are wearing Crocs in what looks like very cold weather.
That is minus 32 degrees centigrade. So on the proper metric scale,
yeah,
that is pretty cold.
Yeah, so that's like what's that like? That's like 50 degrees Fahrenheit. So
pretty cold.
That's pretty warm.
And
pretty
speaking cold. Of extra small.
So anyway, speaking of extra small, that was a nasty ass segue.
Oh, bam!
So I'm actually quite into extra small instances on Windows Azure. So these are now into public beta.
Yes.
Extra small instances are like kind of a netbook for the cloud, right? Sort of thing that you'd give your grandma, but you probably wouldn't use yourself, right? But extra small instances are fantastic for doing test work.
Sure.
Right? Because Windows Azure really shines when we start thinking about scaling it up, right? Running multiple instances. And extra small instances allow us to run multiple instances at much lower cost, mm-hmm. only 5 cents an hour.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So we can do things like testing our scale out, right? Testing how our elastic scale applications actually work. So big fan of extra small instances as a test mechanism for really truly testing the way Azure should work.
Or for applications that really don't have that much load, but you want the ability to have things like redundancy and you know, say you're doing a live tile service, for example, you can throw it on extra small.
Exactly. That's a fantastic example. So a live tile service where you want the auto recovery features of Windows Azure. So if your machine goes down, it's auto restarted and so forth.
Yeah. All right. Cool stuff. Well, thank you, Chris. Hopefully people didn't tune out for the CRM parts. And we will catch you all next week.
Thank you.
MadricGrids.com. Yeah.